Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Thanks for tuning in, and today we have a very special treat. I know I'm very excited about this. Today we have our first guest that's actually a former Survivor player, and today we're joined by none other than Jim Rice. Jim, how's it going?
It's going good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for coming on. You know, I've been a huge fan of the show for, you know, since the beginning, and it's a pleasure to finally talk to someone who's played.
Oh, thanks.
And just in the interest of full disclosure, you're actually the second person that I've reached out to come on the show. The first was your buddy Cochran. And,
Cochran say no, what's he got going on?
Well, this is the thing. We're a very, strategy and history and theory oriented podcast, and I had an idea of doing an episode about final tribal council theory and jury theory and things like that, and I know he wrote a paper about something very similar, so I wanted to have him come on and, talk about it.
I'll tell him that he should, not that he'll listen to
you. You know, if he wants to continue just being a coward, so be it.
We tried to get Albert on as well, but he refused to give us a yes or no answer, so it looks like that's on the back burner as well.
I'll text both of those fools right now.
Alright, now that the hilarious comedy is out of the way, I'll explain the format real quickly of what we're going to be doing today. We'll be going through, Jim, your game specifically, kind of chronologically, and you know, we have a ton of questions. And today, actually, we opened up all the questions to the people on the 2+2 thread and in various other outlets, and we got a tremendous response. We got a ton of questions from you, and a lot of these questions are going to be not originally from us, but we've got a lot of great questions from a lot of people that we're going to be working in.
Sounds good.
All right, so we're going to be going kind of chronologically from where you started. So I know you've been a fan of the show for a long time.
Yes, for sure. I remember watching season one and calling up my parents. I'm like, you guys gotta watch this show. It's so bizarre, but I absolutely love it. And they didn't get into it as much as I did, but, yeah, I've watched it since season one. Now, there have been a couple seasons in there that if I don't get hooked with the first couple episodes, I tend to delete them at the end of I tend to have like five or six built up at the end of the DVR season, and I just delete them all because I don't get that engaged. But I think that's the same way for anybody. I don't think it's as much the twist, it's the characters that you have on the show, and you're either engaged by them or you're not. And, you know, I think that's how it is for both fans and casual fans alike.
Favorite, like former survivors?
Oh man, you know, that's a good question that I really haven't thought of. I had to answer that question a lot like as I was going through casting and whatnot, but since I've played the game, I think my answers probably change a little bit, in terms of what it really takes to get to the end. So, you know, with people like that, you like a person like a Russell Hance that actually is out there and talks and makes it to the end. I really can't stand the under the radar players that try to act like they are so great because they played under the radar when really that's just their personality and nobody knows who the person is and they're in the top five. So, you know, players like that, players like Rob that controlled his tribe so much last season, I know these are a little bit more recent. And then all the way back to Richard Hatch, I mean, he was the first person that even put that word alliance in more in our lexicon. And, it was interesting to see. I remember watching that first season. I'm like, they're never going to give it to him. But then you realize that the people that played that game, how they judged the game, and they judged it based on, you know, what doing anything that was necessary to get to the end. So, you know, it's a little bit different. So that has changed my perception of the game a little bit. Like this year, even Coach, as I watched it on TV, Coach deserved to win. He lost that game with a horrible tribal council speech. That was his to win. He played the best game.
Wow.
The other people there would not have been there if it weren't for him.
Wow.
That answers some of the questions we were going to ask you. Sure. I mean, we'll get on to that later. Just going back to the question originally asked. If you read all the pre-game interviews and stuff, it seems like every woman under the age of 30 says, oh, I'm going to be like Parfitt or whatever. The men seem to give more varied answers to that. Jim, I mean, you said you're a fan of people like Russell and Rob.
Right.
Were you specifically modeling your game after them, though?
I really wasn't modeling my game after anybody. I kind of wanted to go in there. Here's the thing that this island does to anybody. You can have all the game plan that you want, but when you get there and you're broken down to no eating, no sleeping, and with people 24/7, your real personality is going to come out. I don't think there's anybody that was out there whose personality they were able to hide in any season successfully. It comes out. My game plan was to be quiet, fly under the radar, don't be a leader. And in the first episode, I'm calling out people for not being intense enough, and I'm trying to lead our tribe. It brings out who you really are. Some people call me, and can I swear on this?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Absolutely. Okay.
You know, some people will say, you know, you're an asshole on the show. Well, I'm a little bit of an asshole in real life. I mean, overall, I'm a good guy, but I have the potential to be an asshole. And I think that the show is accurate. I think the only people that have an issue with editing are people that don't like the image in the mirror.
That's a great answer.
So, Dom, to further it, to more specifically, I really didn't particularly model myself after anybody. One line that did resonate in my head was something that Boston Rob had always said, which was, your only plan that you should really have is adaptability. And that was kind of my plan as well. You know, I went in there, you know, we've all watched the show and you're like, okay, I need an alliance. I need this. I need that. But until you get your feet there and really get a sense for what's going on, it's hard to implement a strategy. You don't know what any of those people are going to be like.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Your first day out there, you know, you're rowing into the beach. You see Jeff Probst on Redemption Island. What if, as you know, you're about a minute away from starting actually really playing Survivor. What's going through your head at that time?
Finally is what's going through my head at that point because – you know, something that people really don't see is the buildup for us. I mean, it was, you know, this journey for me started last December and it went through finally, you know, trips and interviews. And I finally know that it's not like that you get this grand call from Jeff Probst, which I thought I would get. You get a call that you're probably on. Then you get another call that you're most likely on. Then you get a call that says you're on the show. Maybe you're on 23. Maybe you're on season 24. Then you get a call that says you're on for sure. But we can back out if we want to. So you're just ingrained, like, I don't know what's ever going to happen. And, you know, Dawn's a great example of that because last season she was supposed to be on season 22 and they booted her at the last minute. Mm. And so until you actually get there, you're kind of built up. Then once you finally get to the island, you have I can't talk about the specific length, but you have a long period of time where you're getting interviews done and tests done. And, you know, when you have 18 people that have to do a 20-minute interview, that's an entire day because it has to be fair to everybody. And above everything, the production staff goes to extraordinary lengths to make sure everything is fair. Jeff's middle name should be Fair because he does not want an edge to go to either team anyway, no matter what. So by the time we're actually rowing up to Jeff on the island, it's like, all right, let's get it on. It's finally here after all the work that you've put in, except for those people that were cast. After all the work that you put in as a fan, you're finally on the island. So that's just such a great moment. And the cameras go away. The cameras are gone. And you're there, and you're playing the game, and it's real all of a sudden, and you're just entrenched in that world from minute one.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. So the first thing you get to, you arrive on Redemption Island, and you see the helicopter come down, and you see Coach and Ozzy get out of the helicopter. What were your first thoughts about that, seeing those?
Awesome. I wanted an alpha male who would be good at challenges because I figured he would help us win group challenges and then he would be a big target after the merge. I got exactly what I wanted, getting Ozzy on our team. I don't think that Coach would have survived to the merge if it weren't for, if he were on our tribe. And okay. I'm sure that goes a lot into casting as well.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Because, well, we couldn't get rid of Ozzy before the merge, because if we would have gotten rid of him before the merge, he's such an individual immunity beast, he would have come back and been against us. We couldn't really have taken that chance. You know, we were going to let the other team take him out post-merge. If Coach were on our tribe, he wasn't really that big of an asset in any level. He wasn't a big asset in the group challenges. He wasn't a very big asset in terms of hunting, gathering. He's just somebody like... He would have had the fate of Russell in last season, which is a tribe that knew that they needed to get rid of somebody, and that's what I think would happen on our tribe.
So if Coach smashes that red egg, he goes out pretty quickly?
I would think so. I wouldn't have been as overt as Christine, but I don't think that Coach would have stuck around for as long. I think he would have stuck around a couple rounds. I mean, because when you get on that island, so much of it is how you interact with everybody. It didn't matter if Semhar would have done what she would have done. She was going home after the first loss. I mean, she drove us all crazy. And the interesting thing, though, I love her now. She when I was in L.A., she was the sweetest thing. I can't say enough good things about her. But during the show, oh, my goodness.
So we assume that you got to see Boston Rob, as I like to say, go into rec mode last season. You got to see that before actually playing, right? That whole season?
Yeah, we did. Fortunately, that was something that we weren't sure if we were going to get to see the finale or not because our timeline for when we were leaving kept changing. So, you know, I tried to use that whole Boston Rob thing as much as I could to post-merge to try to get some people to flip, and I couldn't speak to anybody.
Okay, so you're standing on Redemption Island, and Jeff is doing this thing where he points to random people and starts asking questions. So he points to Cochrane, and he starts going to this long-winded rant about how he wants to be called Cochrane and how he's idolized the game for 10 years. What's going through your mind at that point?
You know, at that point, I figured that I had somebody there that I could talk game with and maybe eventually get a nice alliance with. Because, you know, in an alliance, you want people to need you more than you need them. And Cochrane definitely fit that bill. He would have needed me more than I needed him. And that was the case, you know, up until the merge. But I liked the idea of getting together with him. I was trying not to – I sometimes as an individual get too stuck in my own – I fall in love with my words too much, as my English writer used to say – or English teacher used to say. I tend to fall in love with my own ideas a little bit too much. So I made a conscious effort to not – to really keep an open mind as to who I was going to go after and see kind of what came to me.
So more generally, before you'd even had a chance to talk to people, what were your first impressions like? I mean, did you love the tribe compared to Upolu at that point?
At that point, they looked like they were physically more dominant. I mean, we had two of our girls that were stronger than our weakest guy. And I don't really mean that as a slight. I really just mean that as that we were, I felt, inferior in terms of the physical challenges. And, you know, anything with the mental challenges, I felt like we were in pretty good shape for. But I was, I won't say disappointed. I mean, here's the thing. It's a game for $1 million, and I'm still a freaking guy. Right when they passed out the buffs, I'm like, all right, we got the hot chicks. You know, until the first challenge, but I'm like, fuck, we got the hot chicks. I was pretty thrilled. So, you know, I liked that at first, but then, you know, I mean, look at even the girls, Sophie and Michaela and Stacy. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Those guys are all awesome people and insane in challenges. And Christine, I mean, holy crap. That's a lineup of females. And it's just, I love how close, that was something the editing didn't do any editing to. It was that close almost every single challenge. It was down to, you know, a percent one way or the other.
Wow.
It was amazing how close each of those challenges were. It's just the ebb and flow of the game.
Speaking of the challenges, that very first challenge, the hero challenge between Just Coach and Ozzy, we talked to Gordon Holmes a few weeks ago, just after the finale, and he was out there for the first 3 days, and he said that puzzle took forever. How long did that puzzle actually take?
That puzzle took forever.
Well, thanks for clarifying.
I'm trying to really think. You know, it took, because we didn't really start speaking up until, you know, I knew what the puzzle format was. It took a solid 20, 25 minutes because the game itself is very interesting. For anybody that's watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes, it's the same challenge, just on a smaller level. In Rise of the Planet of the Apes, they do it on a smaller level. It's the exact same challenge. And even when Ozzy and Coach were doing the challenge, Probst had to stop it 4 or 5 times because they weren't getting what that a smaller piece had to be, could only go on top of a bigger piece. That was something that I think that may have gotten lost in translation a little bit at home watching it. But it was a tough challenge. I mean, even for all of us up there helping him, it was pretty rough. I think he said that Probst said that the Dream Teamers took 35 minutes or so, or maybe even 40 minutes to get that challenge done.
Yeah, I think Gordon said they took about 45 minutes. Now the thing is. The challenge itself appears to at least be just not, it's a classic puzzle called Towers of Hanoi, and I always thought it was a pretty popular puzzle.
You know what? I did a lot of puzzles prepping for,
I was gonna ask you that actually, that's fair. Which puzzle, like slide puzzles?
I had one of my best friends, Chris Borowski, he flew out here. Interestingly enough, he's the forensic science teacher. He flew out here for a weekend, and he's like, all games, all weekend. We were playing shuffleboard. We had every freaking game that you could buy from, like, that smart kids store. I can't remember what the name of it is. But, like, all the 3D puzzles. And so I would have liked a few more puzzles. We practiced a lot of weird games. I mean, we were playing cornhole, bago, as we call it. We were playing shuffleboard. I mean, if I were on Redemption Island, I was money. Those are all barbecue tailgating games that we watched. I'm like, I could kill it all of these. But we did a lot of puzzles and, you know, a lot of the cube three-dimensional puzzles and figure out what the keys to those were. And it was a lot of fun. So those were, I like the puzzle challenges, and that was, Towers of Hanoi is exactly what it was called. Cause I remember watching Planet, when I got back, I had a list of like 15 movies I needed to go see. Rise of Planet of the Apes was one of them. I'm watching it. I can't remember. I was on a date with somebody and I'm like, holy shit, that was the first one. That's the first thing. And it was before it was even announced. So I really couldn't tell a whole lot of people, but it just blew my mind. And I remember sending a message to everybody that was there. I'm like, you guys got to go see Planet of the Apes. Our challenge, the first challenge is in one of the first scenes of that movie.
That's funny. So let's go back to your game itself. You arrive back at your Nasavaya camp. Right when you get out of the camp, what's it like really right when people first get there? You know, I guess everyone kind of turned to Ozzy for some guidance, but what are you thinking, you know, about the people on your tribe? And when do you really start thinking about how you're going to, you know, quote unquote, like start playing the game as it were, I guess?
Here's the thing with that. I was fine with my tribe. We definitely turned to Ozzy, and I was in keep my mouth shut mode at that point. Cause I'm like, shit, I already tipped my hand that I have half a brain that can figure out the puzzle in the first challenge. And everybody's like congratulating me on the way out. I'm like, great. I just painted a target on my head for down the road, but also made myself valuable enough that, that we were going to have a puzzle challenge. I had our whole tribe in fear of puzzle challenges coming up just that they would keep me around just to make sure that they would. And so when we get back, we definitely turn to Ozzy. I know that. And at that point, I'm already realizing that it's so much about camp life dynamics. And whereas when you're watching the show, it's split into thirds, third camp life, a third challenges, a third tribal council. In reality, it's 99% camp life. And so I'm like, as long as I'm a hard worker, I don't need to have I felt like if I made a real strong alliance on day one, it would be insincere. Sometimes it's worked in the past, sometimes it hasn't. And I didn't want to come across that way. Cause I think I can come across, as some people said, like a used car salesman sometimes. So I was more of the mindset I wanted people to approach me, especially since we had 3 days until the next, challenge and tribal. I'm like, all right, I know that I have enough time to actually get to know people and develop trust and develop legitimate trust before moving forward. That being said, Papa Bear came up to me within the first 30 seconds. He said, hey, I know you're an Italian. Me, you, Italian brothers to the end. I'm like, what do you say to somebody who wants to make an alliance with you? No, you're an idiot. You say yes. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Till the end, I won't lie to you. And so that comes up. You know, I know that Ozzy had an alliance with Keith and Whitney relatively early, but those type of things can be broken as easily as they get into it. If you get into an alliance with somebody that you've developed a rapport with, for example, you know, I ended up having the strongest alliance with Dawn by the end. And I know that she would have never gone against me during that game. And so, but that's because it was built on trust and actually a real relationship, not just a, hey, I want to make it to the end. I'm picking you based on nothing. And same with Cochran too. You know, I know that it got a little, it obviously didn't work out, but for a few votes there, you know, Pat Cochran and I were on the exact same page. And he left our alliance before I did. And that's what you always want to do as a goal, in the game. You want to leave your alliance before it leaves you. So, I mean, we can get into that piece of it later, but those alliances, people were trying to, do them immediately on day one. And that's the other thing that people really don't get. More than anything, what this game breeds is paranoia, because you're constantly counting. You're like, all right, I know there's nine of us. There's two, there's two, there's two, there's two, and me. Okay, I'm going to count for everybody. Then all of a sudden, wait, where's Whitney? She's not here. Wait, who else is missing right now? And you're constantly, constantly doing that, because you assume everybody that's talking is talking about you, even when they're not.
Now, I would say, you know, I watched back a few the earlier episodes in preparation for this, and I would say the first moment, at least in my eyes, that we saw you as a gamer was when we see you lie and say that your occupation is as a science teacher. Go for it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was playing to win from the beginning. I knew that nobody would vote me out because of what I did, but I knew that a jury – if I'm sitting next to a Mormon mom with six kids, isn't going to give a pot dealer $1 million. And I was playing for $1 million before I got on that island. I had crafted the whole story. I had spent hours and hours researching everything from vacation schedules at schools around here in Denver to how long they go to, what type of program I taught and stories that went along with all of it. And so I had it pretty much down pat. I was ready to go out there and say what and execute that plan.
I remember Elise saying that the first time she became suspicious of you was when apparently you forgot the boiling point of water.
Yeah, 212 degrees. Seriously, the girl dances on a pole for me. I'm not really that insulted by that point of it. It's 212 or 100 Celsius for you, Dom. It's I don't know. I thought that was weird. I read that comment as well, and I didn't quite get it. I think she was just bitter because I blindsided her. But.
Did you have any fake professions that you rejected before settling on science teacher?
That's funny. Yes. Yeah, I did. I was going to go with financial analyst, but that's because that's kind of what I did right when I got out of undergrad. And but then I figured that people would think that I'm an analyst and too analytical of everything, which I am. And they wouldn't trust me. I couldn't go with poker player because poker players are untrustworthy, according to the general public. I couldn't go with anything that showed intelligence. I didn't want to go with. And then I looked back and correlated.
So science teacher, naturally.
Well, I correlated who had won the most in the past, and the common thread was service of some sort. So teachers had won before, nurses. And so I figured if I would go with something along those lines that I could fake it well enough, all the answers that I needed to fake. So that was how I came up with that.
So now you say, in the early tribe back with the very beginning of, Savai, that Semhar was just getting on everyone's nerves. How sure of a lock was it? When did it, I guess, become a lock that she was going to be the first one gone as soon as you went to tribal?
In Jeff's pregame interviews, he's like, if Semhar doesn't go home first, I'll be shocked. Everybody knew she was going home first. She's not made for that island. She's made for heels and lipstick. And tell you what, the girl's friggin' – she's fun, and I'll see her the next time I go out to L.A. But, yeah, she was going home first no matter what.
Now Gordon Holmes also got to go see the first tribal council you guys went to, and he said Cochran just would not stop talking, thinking he was going.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
He almost – I mean, it's just like, dude, there's one – you know, there's a rule in sales. Don't sell somebody who's already sold. It's like – hey, we're not voting for you. He almost shot himself in the foot that first tribal council. Here's the misconception. There ain't shit that's decided at tribal council. It's decided before tribal council. I in however many tribals I made it to, never once was there a change in somebody's vote, at tribal.
Yeah.
I mean, there has been in past seasons, I think it could have been editing, but I felt like maybe there was a decision that was changed, at tribal in the past, but
yeah, you've seen, like in Heroes versus Villains, they at least made it seem like Russell was kind of calling an audible on the Danielle vote.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. And, I wonder about those type of things sometimes.
Who knows? So now that we're back kind of in the beginning of the early game, when do you start really thinking about the hidden immunity idol?
Oh, immediately. That's anybody that's a fan is already thinking about that. So it's a double-edged sword. You want to find it, but you don't want to seem like you're looking for it because you identify yourself as a target. And you don't want to do that. That being said, you know, when you're going for water, you're looking everywhere you can. And just Ozzy had a better idea of where to look. So I was looking every chance that I had.
Okay, so you said the Semhar's boot was a kind of done deal. What about Papa Bear's boot? Because that seemed more up in the air, or was that a lock as well?
No, that wasn't a lock. Papa Bear did himself then. I would have liked to have kept Papa Bear around. Here's what really happened. Anybody that got close to Ozzy, we got rid of because we wanted to keep Team Ozzy weak, but Ozzy the individual strong so he could perform for us. And that's what did him in. I mean, you think about the game in terms of 3-day segments. The first 3 days, we knew Semhar was going. Then it's another 6 days until we have to send another person home because we win the second challenge. And Papa Bear is one of those people, like I said, it's 99% camp life. You gotta talk about other shit other than the game. Paranoia did himself in, 100% did himself in, and then he started telling people that he's telling Ozzy everything that he can figure out. Alright, he did himself in. I'm like, I even told him, I'm like, Papa Bear, calm down, don't tell anybody, don't talk about the game 24/7. I mean, we'd be in the water hanging out talking about kids and life and love and whatever you want to talk about, baseball, and he'd come out and we'd leave. I mean, it would be like, you know, that kid that would come to the school table and be like, oh, we're leaving the table now, because you know what he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about strategy and who do you think is going to go home next, who you going to vote for, and it gets a little bit exhausting out there. You're already living it and breathing it constantly. You need a break from it. He would never let it rest, and paranoia did him in. But going there, we knew who was going home.
Okay, so now back early on Savai still. What was the deal with Keith and Whitney? When did that really start going on? And did she ever tell anyone that she was married?
No, she didn't. I'm good friends with Keith and Whitney right now, still. And, you know, that...
Okay, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable or whatever.
Oh, no, I don't have anything but good things to say about him. She didn't ever say... She said she had a boyfriend, and as we were sitting out in the ocean one day talking about who's with who and all that good stuff. But, you know, they were attracted to each other. And I think, you know, day one, they had an alliance. I think by day six, they were in love. And it was fun to see. You know, I liked that. I wanted them to stay in their little honeymoon land for her as long as they could. Cause I knew that if I ever needed to, I could make them a target. Cause a powerful couple is very easy to target. Cause you only have two votes there and I could have the rest of the tribe voting against them if I needed to.
Definitely. And one other thing, we're definitely going to get to the Elise boot, which is obviously a pivotal point in a second. Just one other thing quickly before that though, in one of the immunity challenges, you set the new record for the weight bearing challenge.
Yeah, that was the hardest one. That hurt. I couldn't move for a solid 5 minutes. I was like laying down on the ground. I could hear him in the background. Does medical need to go out there? And, it hurt so bad. And, that was great. That was a high point. The group challenges, I'm 35. I'm not, you know, I wasn't physically the most, dominant physical person out there, but I think that I was the best performer in the group challenges, as a whole. The second challenge that we had, I had the puzzle figured out before we left and I was calling the shots. I didn't really show that as much, and then even in, the third, fourth and fifth challenges, the slingshot, and the weight challenge, I was pretty happy with how I performed in all the challenges, both win and loss.
Definitely. Did you have a favorite challenge or a least favorite challenge?
The coconut one. That was where we had the slingshots. That was awesome. It was so much fun. I wish I would have had the surround sound kicking. I would watch that with 120 friends and family in Michigan. I went back to Michigan for that one. And I have never felt like – I've never felt that. It was like I hit the home run in the World Series because all of them are cheering like I've never heard my friends and family cheer before when I hit the final coconut shot. It was epic. I was so happy about that.
We're going to move on to the Elise bit in a minute. Moving back to something you said just now, you said that Papa Bear kind of did himself in. If mm-hmm. he had sort of been more normal, as it were, what would have happened at his boot tribal council, do you think?
I think that he could have made a very strong case to get rid of Cochran at that point. Because I didn't have a strong alliance with Cochran yet. We're at like day eight, day nine right then. And I think that he could have had Cochran out of there if he would have just been a little bit more low-key and demonstrated a little bit more value.
Okay, so the plan to get rid of Elise hadn't really been hatched by then?
No. The plan to get rid – here's some behind-the-scenes stuff for you that it never showed, and I was glad that it didn't show because I think it would have portrayed me in a very poor light. Nights number 1 through 6, Elise and I slept next to each other every night, and it's freaking cold out there. So, the first night she's in booty shorts and high heels, and – we're laying by the fire to sleep that night. And, she cuddles up next to me. And as the night goes on, we're closer and closer because we're literally shivering. And, I have a jacket and pants and long sleeves. So I take my jacket off and give it to her as a blanket. For the next 6 nights, we're cuddle buddies. We're talking about the game. We're hanging out in the ocean. It was fun. I get paranoid and I'm like, I am not going to be that couple that gets knocked out. Cause at that point in the game, I have four. If it's me and her, and I'm like, I could get Keith and Whitney with me as well. But then all of a sudden, I only have four people, and I'm going to need more than that because we're a very easy group to target down the road. And so I told her, I'm like, you're sleeping elsewhere tonight. We have to. We're going to get ourselves voted out if we don't distance ourselves a little bit. Well, it worked two ways. We distanced ourselves, but then she wouldn't leave Ozzy's side. And so Keith and I, then you saw that's how that started. And then, she was with Ozzy constantly and that, paranoia is, nothing sells like fear. I think that line made the air and, it was pretty easy to sell some people on that move, when it came to happen. And I can talk more about the Elise strategy too, if we want to go there right now.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. That's what we want to get into because we saw you originally develop the 3+2 plan. Which is kind of,
kind of a joke.
Oh, that was a joke?
Oh, no, it wasn't. It was just, like, laughable that I'm like, okay, here's my plan. I got this. I'm like, really? I'm like, if I were going to come up with a name of a plan or an alliance, it would be way cooler than the 3+2 plan. I don't know what I was thinking. But that plan I kind of didn't buy because I didn't believe that Keith was so willing to turn on Whitney. But I figured as long as we get to the merge, I'm good. I can figure out. I can scrape and scramble if I need to at that point. So I liked it, but I didn't completely buy into that. Once I started to see Elise get really close to Ozzy, then I started to get worried because I knew that Keith wasn't going to want to get rid of Whitney, and I knew that Keith and Ozzy were pretty close. So all of a sudden, there's four of those people, and now at that point, it's me, Cochran, and Dawn. So if we get rid of Cochran, all of a sudden, there's me and Dawn left, and there's these four that could knock us out in a whim. And I didn't know when the merge was coming, if the merge was coming. I also didn't know what would happen afterwards. I knew that post-merge, I wouldn't trust Elise. I knew I would trust Cochran more than I would trust Elise post-merge. And so that's where that came, and we didn't want to tell Ozzy because for fear of she would be the only person that he might give the immunity idol to.
Yeah, and you know, I think as viewers, when we were hearing about the 3+2 plan, people who've watched all the seasons before have seen Ozzy kind of play this Operation Double Date game twice.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Jim, you're locking up fifth place, buddy. But
I knew it. That's why I had to change it up. And getting her out of the way, then all of a sudden I know that Keith wants to get rid of Ozzy at some point. I know Dawn does, and I know Cochran will do anything just to stay in the game. So I liked the dynamics. I felt like it was a much more controllable tribe with Elise out of there because she turned into a variable, and I figured with her getting out of there, I'd be in much better position.
How difficult was it to sell Keith on that, and I guess Whitney by extension, or did they just sort of fall in line?
It was pretty easy to sell him on it. I mean, Keith hates the way that it was shown on TV because he's like, it makes me look like an idiot. You just come up to me and say that let's do it, and I say let's do it. But it wasn't that much harder than it appeared on TV. You know, and Ozzy really did do himself in by making that comment about, he's like, hey, if I were a coach, I would get rid of Albert. And I'm like, okay, well, that means that you get rid of either me or Keith, too. So we're cutting out your leg. We're not going to get rid of you. We're cutting your legs out, though, from underneath you.
So you think you could have got, even if Ozzy hadn't made that comment about Coach get rid of Albert, you think you still could have orchestrated this Elise boot?
I think I could have. It would have been harder.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think I could have. I don't know for sure, though. I think that really was the nail in the coffin. It would have been a little bit more of a challenge for me.
I think given that you did, and given that we're Dom and I, and the whole point of the show, for the most part, is to evaluate like the correct and good Survivor strategy – and I think the Elise boot for your game did a ton to improve your equity once you get post-merge. And I think it was one of the most forward-thinking moves. And I would liken it kind of to like JT in Heroes vs. Villains with the Ciri boot, where it's a bit counterintuitive maybe at first, but it makes a ton of sense when you're thinking long run. And I honestly don't want it to sound like I'm just kissing your ass or whatever. But I think this was maybe even the move of the season in terms of one player actively improving their position in the game.
Well, I appreciate that, and if it would, I think it could have worked out really good.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's a knock that I got from a lot of people is that I was playing a post-merge game pre-merge. But if you're not planning for the future, I mean, whatever cheesy one you want to use, if you're not planning for the future, you're planning to fail. I subscribe to that. I think that you have to see 5, 6, 7 moves ahead. You have to, if you don't have a path to the finals, you're not going to make it to the finals. The final three. And it's just, I really do think it is that simple. And I had a plan. I actually had multiple plans and she wasn't a part of any of them. She would have never gotten rid of, Ozzy. And, at some point I was going to need somebody to get rid of Ozzy.
Okay. That's interesting. You don't think you could have got everyone else to take out Ozzy and then just dragged her along as a goat?
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point too. Maybe, but if I would have kept her in, let's say we merged at 6 again. Let's say I keep her in and we got rid of Cochran that night. Then it's me and Dawn and then those four. All right. Now, Dawn and I are the outcasts. And let's say there's one more person that needs to get voted off. It's going to be me. Let's say we lose that challenge and it doesn't go 6-6. And let's say they merge at 5-5. I'm the next person to go. Clearly. Because they're not going to vote Dawn off. And unless I can inspire enough beer to get rid of Ozzy, they're not going to do Ozzy pre-merge. And so all of a sudden, I'm the next person that's voted off if I don't have voting power. And by getting rid of Elise, it kept Ozzy weak. He was forced to come back to, you know, the me-Keith alliance. And that's what ended up happening.
So it would be safe to say that, you know, even hindsight being 2020 and knowing the result and how things played out, you still don't regret that Elise move. You think it was genuine?
No, the analysis was correct. I still think the analysis of it was correct. It just didn't work out. You know, if a football team's a 15-point favorite, you should bet on them to win the game. And, you know, they're not going to always win the game, but the analysis is right. And so the analysis was right at the time. I don't see anything that would have gone different. Let's say we would have kept Elise and merged at six, then Dawn all of a sudden feels like an outsider, and she was even kicking around the idea of flipping. I think Dawn would have flipped at that point. But you just never know. You never know. You know, you can second guess everything. You go back to the first challenge, and if we would have won that first challenge, you know, you might be talking to somebody who has $1 million right now because of the way that the rest of the challenges go, and we would have had numbered, blah, blah, blah. It's a game. It's just like life. You know, if you take a left at the stop sign instead of a right, you know, your whole world could change. Same thing there. You know, one coconut, one word can change everything. And it definitely does in this game. And it did in this season.
Going on from that, we see Michaela get voted out. That by itself, I guess, is unremarkable, but just as a general question, what did you make of the limited information you had about them based on what you'd heard from Redemption Island and the general boot order over there?
A lot of surprises, because really, you guys saw all 100% of our interaction. There was no anything else except for what you saw. So we really didn't have a whole lot of information. We didn't know their names. It was Coach. It was Loco. It was Sophie. I mean, we had names for everybody because we didn't know any of their names. They said them once, a couple of them, but we didn't quite know. And so it was all looks and, you know, glances. And so we really didn't know what was going over there. We always had a guess. That's what, you know, we had nothing to do but talk. So we would ask each other, who do you think is going to get booted tonight? We really thought Edna was going to go much earlier. Edna was the equivalent of our Elise. I can't believe they didn't make a move to get rid of her. I can't believe Coach didn't make a move to keep her later on in the game. But that's what it is. I mean, Coach takes Edna and Cochran to the end, and he wins $1 million. And I think Coach probably doesn't like me very much because when I got booted, they cut that whole speech out. I went on this long diatribe screaming at everybody and telling them exactly what was going to happen.
Can we hear this story?
Yeah, it was tribal council when I got booted, and I knew I was going home. And I'm like, I was trying to work a couple people, Sophie and Albert, to switch. But I'm like, here's what's going to happen, guys. I'm like, you're going to vote us out, and then you're going to be left with yourselves. I'm like, here's the next person that's going to go. I'm like, the next person that's going to go is going to be Albert because you're a physical threat. Sophie, you're the next to go because you're another person who thinks for themselves. Then all of a sudden, there's four of you guys left. Rick, you're the next person that's going to be voted out because you're just too nice and you would win $1 million. Brandon, you're going to be next because if you make it to the final three, Coach knows that you'll win $1 million over him. Coach is going to take Cochran and end at the final three. And I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I give you Boston Rob, Natalie, and Philip Shepherd once again. And I couldn't get anybody to go for it. And by the way, if he would have went with my exact plan, he would have won $1 million. But he didn't. And he had them all really, really scared to ever do anything to upset the tribe. He did a good job.
Just going back, what did you know? Did you know anything about Christine over at Redemption Island? What did you guys thoughts about her as a tribe? We saw her actively kind of hating on Upolu and making it pretty clear she was going to flip over if she were to get back. How aware of Savaya was all of that?
Okay, 100% wrong.
Okay.
Here's what I say. Let's say we would have sent Cochran and he would have went home. All of a sudden, Savaye has five and Coach has six. When you look back at that first vote, there's a few pieces of information here. One, what we had been told from Christine and her duel with Papa Bear. Papa Bear told them that, hey, if I get back in this game, I'm going to Polu. Christine said, I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. So that was one piece of information that we had. Second piece of information we had was from last season. Matt came back and went back to his former tribe. And they got rid of him, but he went back to his former tribe. Third thing that we knew is that Christine really, really wanted to get Coach out of there. And so all of a sudden, look at what can I offer? I can offer your best case scenario, Christine, if you come with me, is a tie. That's all that I can offer you is drawing rocks. Then all of a sudden you look at Albert and Sophie that can say to her, hey, come with us. Let's get rid of the Savaye, and then we can go for Coach. We didn't vote against you. It was a split vote. It wasn't a unanimous, let's get rid of Christine. It was a very, very splintered vote. There were three different people that were voted for that were written down in that first tribal council. So all of a sudden, Christine, whatever her motivation is, she has no motivation to come to us just to draw rocks. That's all I could offer her was drawing rocks. So keeping Christine and counting on her to come to us was, there was no sound analysis that would, why? I wouldn't come over to us. You're offering me a tie? Nah. Go screw yourselves.
I guess that answers the next question of whether you think booting Ozzy at that point was correct. Given that
I do,
you clearly think it was, what was that night like in general? So after you lose the challenge, you come back to camp and everyone is clearly just furious at Cochran and just in a bad mood in general.
So many things went right for Cochran to get him to keep in that game longer. If we would have, normally you go to tribal council that night. If that was the only challenge that was late at night where we had a chance to sleep on it. Normally the challenge is during the day and then you go to challenge it at night. That time it was at night because it was the Jack and Jill challenge and the winner's got to go see a movie that night. So we came back. We're all pissed. He's like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I don't know either. Let's try to get Ozzy to go. And Ozzy wakes up the next morning and he's going to go. I think it was the right move. If he would have, but everybody was so pissed off that night. If it would have happened that night, he would have definitely, definitely gone home.
Interesting.
But it didn't. And, you know, and there's also somebody on our team like Semhar that's a scapegoat that gives Cochran at least 6 days to get himself entrenched in the tribe and not go out first. You know, he's a character, and they wanted to make sure that they kept the character around, and it worked out.
Now, I have a question about, you know, given that Ozzy's going to send himself to Redemption Island and knowing that you're going to vote him out, why would he give the immunity idol to Cochran, the hidden immunity idol to Cochran? Because if there's not a merge and you guys then have to go back to tribal council the next time, Cochran's now got a hidden immunity idol he can use.
Right. That was a unilateral decision. I was dumbfounded by that. I thought for sure he would give it to Keith. I don't know. My assumption is that he was trying to gain, he's already sacrificing himself for Cochran. Now he's giving him the idol. So when he comes back, no matter what happens, Cochran will not go against Ozzy. In Ozzy's mind. I think that's what he was thinking at that point in the game.
So Cochran, in his post-game interviews, seems to suggest that the atmosphere at camp that night after the Dragon Jewel Challenge was one of the things that sort of prompted him into flipping. Obviously, the rest of Savai doesn't agree with the claim that he was bullied, and it seems that Cochran doesn't claim that himself, but what was the atmosphere like?
No, he wasn't bullied at all. That was actually the story that we came up with. You know, you want to talk about like a liar believing their lies. It was really more perpetrated by Coach that saying Coach looked at him and was like, oh, he was bullied. He was really never bullied. But Coach said that and everybody believed it because they looked at him and thought that. And, you know, not really the case. He was just scared and he didn't want to go to rock. I get that. Make a move. Here, I'll give you a few moves that you can make, Cochran. One, you can insist on keeping the idol. That's a move. Don't give it back to Ozzy. That's having balls and having a move. Two, you can say, hey, guys, I've been dying to play this game my entire life. I'm not going to go to rocks. I hate to do that, but I need a immunity necklace or else I'm going to flip. Fine. We'll give you an immunity necklace. The rest of us will go to rocks. We're fine with that. Thank you for letting us know. That's a survivor move. That's what I should have done. I would have been like, okay, Cochran's actually making a move now. Alliance is intact, doesn't piss off anybody too much that he can't win $1 million. It almost becomes a rallying cry if he does make it to the final three. Hey, I was the only person not willing to. I made sure that I was going to stay in this game. Nobody else would. I think that deserves $1 million. Okay, that's a case for $1 million. Instead, you do that and guarantee yourself a loss. Those are moves that he could have made. Or, the simplest thing. Don't tell him who we're going to give that necklace to. Don't go tell him that it's Whitney. Don't tell him that. And they, what it didn't show is they were going to vote for Whitney. So, fine, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell him that piece of information. But he goes and tells him that. So it's just dumb, dumb, dumb. I mean, it really is upsetting.
Yeah, I can understand. That would, trust me, I would be...
Those are all moves I actually have a little bit of a respect for.
I didn't know about this. I didn't notice him telling them that it was Whitney. That's wild.
Yeah, he told it to Sophie, and then he's like, you're not going to tell me who you're voting for, are you? She's like, no.
So if we can rewind a little bit, just back to the merge, Ozzy wins the duel and now you guys are all merged. How quickly did you learn about Upolu? Because there's a scene of you kind of pinpointing really early on where everyone on that tribe is at in the game. How does the merge generally, like when, as a player who made the merge, what's the merge itself kind of like?
You know, it's a bunch of phoniness. Everybody kind of sizing each other up. Oh, where are you from? Oh, what do you do? What do you like to do? Blah, blah, blah. You don't mean any of it. Edna's stuffing nuts into her socks so that she can eat them later. Coach is telling her to keep candies for later. And then you're obviously it's two tribes divided. Both of them, we had both been preaching the strong tribe thing. We make an effort to go after Rick. And it didn't quite work. You know, that's talk about regrets. I feel like we should have made a more concerted effort to go after a couple different people. Maybe even make promises of giving the, or actually even do give the immunity, our immunity necklace to somebody else. I wish we would have, we should have went in strong and just said, hey, yeah, we're six. We only, we're going to use our immunity idol tonight. Yeah, you're going to be drawing five rocks. We're going to be drawing two rocks. So wish you all the best. We could have gotten, if we would have come in strong like that, yeah, we would have, it would have been a much different story. But, you know, regrets.
So you spend all this time sizing them up. What did you realize or infer about the alliance structure within their tribe at that point? Obviously, it didn't really matter because you knew that their six was voting one way and your six was voting another way. But what did you kind of suss out about them?
Well, we figured that the only reason that we were pretty right on, we saw that Sophie and Albert were close. And then we also saw that Edna and Coach were close. Rick and we saw that Rick and Brandon were followers, and we're pretty much right on with all of that.
So you mentioned trying to flip Rick to over to your side. Did you try to flip anyone else, or did you kind of just accept that it was basically a lost cause?
Rick was like who I was assigned. I'm like, I'll go after Rick, and I'll use and nobody else really went after anybody else. You know, I think Ozzy tried to get Coach a little bit, but Coach wasn't wavering. That was really the extent of it. Very disappointing, honestly. We really screwed the pooch there.
Now, Cochran mentioned, or Cochran at least, I think, said out post-show that no one on Savai had come up and offered him any kind of deals for once they got down to a Savai endgame. And I was thinking, you know, given the way that, and we'll get into this in a minute, but if, and we definitely want to talk to you about how you think a Savai endgame would play out. Is it true that no one offered him any deals, and do you think you should have done that, I guess? Because I think that may help him.
Cochran and I thought we were going to the final three together.
You didn't have a formal deal, though, or anything?
Well, we had just said that we're going to the final three together, and maybe it wasn't as spoken by everybody else, but him and I definitely had that. We were to the end, like final two, and we'll figure out who our third is later. And, you know, nobody really offered him that great of a deal on their side either. He wasn't offering any deals. I don't really buy that all that much. I just don't think he was thinking one move ahead and not to an end game, I think is really what it was.
Yeah, well, I think his fear was that if he does stay true with you guys and votes, who would it be, Rick out still and goes to rocks, and even if Upolu draws the rock as they would 5 out of 7 times, I think he was concerned that a Savai endgame would be bad for him, like that he would get sixth place.
Yeah, I don't understand how he would think that.
Exactly, that was my question. Why is he thinking that way?
Because he's paranoid and scared is really the truthful answer. He's a paranoid and scared individual.
Would go so far as to call him a coward?
I may have once or twice.
But to play devil's advocate for a minute, so Cochran, if he thinks he has a final three deal with you, he knows that of the people on Survive, you're probably the most rational player, or at least the player who's thinking the most actively about the game. So surely the only reason that you would want to take him is if you had good reason to believe that you could beat him.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, what had he done? He had ridden coattails the whole time and barely survived every time by no doing of his own. I mean, I was the one that saved him every freaking time. So he's an easy person to say the only vote that he would get would be maybe a sympathy vote.
Right. That maybe what would have happened. But from his perspective, you know, if he thinks, well, I'm playing for a second or third, why not try and do something that could improve my position?
Right, and that was my fault. You know, I didn't realize that he was playing for second, or I didn't realize anybody was playing for second or third, and he obviously was. He had no option. There's only one really far out there theory that he could possibly have won, and that's if he could get Savai to split their votes. But that chance of that is 1%, 2%.
I guess that's what I'm asking, which is, if he's playing for second or third either way, maybe he thought, well, I may as well try and shake things up on the basis that maybe something will happen down the road and things will change. I might be in a position where I might pick up more jewelry votes.
Yeah, you know, he did the one thing that could – I thought he played – and I said it and I still mean this. I think he played the best third-place game in Survivor history. I can't believe nobody took him to the end. I would have taken him to the end.
Yeah.
But nobody took him to the end. So I don't know. It really surprised me that happened that way because – I didn't realize that somebody was willing to play for second or third. I know that sounds short-sighted, but I just thought everybody was there playing for first.
So, you know, once he's flipped and once as things played out, once you've been voted out and Cochran's still left in the game, is there any possible way that you or any Savai other than Don would ever conceivably give him a jury vote?
0.0.
0.0?
0.0.
That's
I don't know how
else zero for all you guys out there listening.
That's 0.0. Yeah. Yeah. No way. I can't fathom a situation in which that would happen. If you screw over one person, you can still win. Two people still win. You can't screw over five people and still win.
So even if he turns up tribal and acts like a new man and gives this confident jury speech, it just gets shut down immediately?
What could he possibly say?
Oh, I'm trying to think of that.
I tried to think of it, Dom. I have no idea what he could possibly say to get my vote. I can't imagine a scenario.
So, just going back into the game, you know, the big debate this season was about Cochran's flip and what happens. There are a ton of hypotheticals, and we definitely want to get to you very soon about a Savai endgame hypothetical. But just real quickly, Cochran flips, Keith's now gone. You're down to 11. At the final 11 immunity challenge, you ended up winning, I believe it was one that was several different levels, and Ozzy went out on one of the earlier, like, different
levels. Level
rounds.
One, yeah.
Yeah, so my question to you is, I think you probably know that you're probably going to be their second target after Ozzy once.
Yeah.
So my question is, but you gotta, I think you at least have to know that they're definitely going to go for Ozzy first.
Right.
So at that point, I think at least I would probably just throw the rest of that challenge knowing Ozzy's going to go home tonight. And this way I at least don't seem like appear as much of a physical threat as maybe I am. And then maybe if someone like Dawn goes on to win it, maybe they boot her at Final 10 instead of you, maybe viewing her as a bigger threat. And then you're at 9, which is theoretically at least a good spot to orchestrate a flip.
Yeah. You have a chance to win. You take the win. And plus, right after that, on the ride home, because we are in these blacked out vans where you can't talk, I came up with the plan to give my neck, because just what you said, I was going home next, no matter what. And so if I give my necklace away that night, maybe it shakes things up enough that if we can be concise, we might be able to get one other person out instead of one of us. Dawn went and told them my plan to do that, and so that's why I didn't end up giving my necklace to Ozzy, and I made me look – a lot of people were like, oh, you're a coward because you didn't do what you said you were going to do. Well, it never showed all the stuff all the Apollo coming over and telling me that they would vote me out if that happened.
All right. So at Final 11, you know, we see you approach Albert and possibly Sophie as well.
Yeah.
About flipping at Final 11. Was there any shot of anything really ever going to happen there that could have changed? Nope.
I had hope. You know, I always had hope that maybe somehow, some way, something. But they were too entrenched in there. It was too early for them to make a move. I needed to win a little bit longer. I needed to win another one or two, and then I think I could have talked one of them into making a move. Because Dawn and Whitney weren't going to talk anybody into anything. And so... Yeah, unfortunately.
All right. Yeah, you know, and then we see ultimately you go out at Final 10. Nothing you can really do about that after Cochran flips and kind of throws your entire game away.
Yeah, that was really, really tough.
Statement, just to be clear, is given that Cochran flips, just to get into Cochran a bit more, they're obviously, you know, you get criticized, I think, as a player in terms of maybe inducing a flip out of him by potential mistreatment pre-merge, but you're saying there's probably that wasn't the case?
Oh, yeah, that's not accurate. Really, I mean, I think people overthink it a little bit too much because the reason Cochran flipped, he was scared, and I don't want to just keep harping on him, but that's what it was. He was fine, you know, finishing a little. I don't think he was even thinking that he was playing a great third place game. He was just trying to stay in the game one more day, and that was it.
Yeah, to go back to Cochran a bit, and let me be clear, I'm not an apologist for Cochran. I think his flip was just an incredibly stupid thing to do, but it seemed like he got along with the Upodo people surprisingly well. Was that to the extent that you think any of them could have voted for him if he had somehow stuck with Savai and made it to the end?
I think that he could have gotten some votes. I think if he makes it to the final three, he'd get second place. Because I think that a Polo would have voted for him, and then it would have been a landslide for somebody else in the final. It would have been a landslide for Coach. I think maybe an Apolu that was scorned would have voted for him because they kept him around. He kept them around.
I was thinking if he sticks with Savai and then he makes it to the final three, and now Apolu are all on the jury. Do you think has a pretty good chance of just picking up a lot of votes there?
Yeah, he might. I think yes. I think he could. Here's the thing: is in the endearing self-deprecation of Cochran turns from endearing to annoying relatively quickly when you're on an island where survival is a real thing, where you need firewood and water, and I don't want to tell you every morning whether or not you should put your contacts or your glasses on, and I mean every morning. I don't want to tell you where to put the machete down after the 20th day. And I think that, you know, you see endearing Cochran for like a little bit, and then he just gets on people's nerves after a little while. But I genuinely liked him. Him and I were genuinely close friends on the island, days one through 20.
Okay. Good.
1 through 25, whatever that was.
All right. When you say that he was playing the best third-place game of all time and that you wouldn't have voted for him, objectively, that's true, as we now know. But surely, since you're on the jury and you have a partial say in who wins the money, it's kind of a self-fulfilling thing, where if you say you won't vote for him, then sure, he's playing for third place because he's not going to get any votes. But it seems like that's a kind of circular logic if you're using that to justify not voting for him.
I'm just saying, if I were in his shoes and I stabbed five people in the back, I can picture a lot of scenarios. I cannot picture a scenario in which I get any votes from any of those five people that I just cost $1 million.
So even if he's there with like Edna and Albert or something, on the kind of 0.001% chance that this happens, does Edna or Albert just take it down?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of people that, I mean, he could try and, you know, reincarnate Saddam Hussein and bin Laden, and then I think he would have a chance.
What?
But I'm trying to think of people. I'm trying to think. There's no scenario, and I know that I talked to Keith and Whitney about this, and Ozzy, and Don. There is no scenario in which he could have won after what happened.
Does that go if he had stuck with Savai as well? Because it seems like Keith and Whitney were just never going to vote for him anyway. And same with Ozzy.
Well, you know, I'll take that back, Dom. I think that maybe if he would have, and I said this to Jeff after I was already voted out. I'm like, my move at 11 should have been to go to Cochran and said, hey, you just screwed yourself. Come back to us. Bring somebody with you from Apolu. Bring one of your new buddies. That's the only way that you're going to win $1 million. There's a way right there. There's a way that he could have. But he was fine sticking with the pulley. He thought he could make it to the final three. And you got nine people on the jury. I don't see, with the way he played it, how he could have expected to get to that final three. Even when he got to the final seven, how he could have gotten to the final three and thought that he could have had a chance. Because you get to the final seven, that means that you're going to have four people that are a pulley. So his only chance would have been to get all four of those votes and hope that the five Savai that are on the jury don't vote all for the same person.
All right. Okay.
So in your Edna and Albert scenario, you know, hoping that we'd vote three for Albert, two for Edna, and then all four of Holu vote for Cochran.
Right, yeah. Okay, so the, you know, outside shot, but not anything remotely realistic, I guess is the bottom line.
Which wouldn't have happened. There's so much talking behind the scenes once you're off the show that, yeah.
That's what I want to ask you about next, actually, is Ponderosa, because, you know, you were one of the first to go to Ponderosa. Actually, I was one of the first. What's it like there, and what do you guys, like, do all day?
Friggin' we drink and swim and eat. I put on all 20 pounds in, like, 4 days. It was crazy.
How much do you think Ponderosa ends up influencing people's jury votes? Like, is there blatant discussion amongst you guys about how you guys are going to ultimately vote and discussion about what's going on in the game still?
You know, we talk about the game a lot. It does, I guess. There's a little bit of groupthink that goes on there. But, you know, I didn't know for sure who won. I mean, everybody would ask me who I thought won. I really didn't know for sure who won until I, you know, it was all read off. I thought it was Sophie. I knew who I voted for.
Right. Did you, just about Sophie, did she have your vote locked up going into Final Travel?
No. I even told Jeff this. I'm like, hey, if Coach comes and owns his game, I will vote for him. If he uses words like honor and integrity 100 times, I will not vote for him.
We saw, actually, I think in post-game interviews that Ozzie also said Ozzie apparently was trying to give Coach a vote and trying to...
Yeah, boy, he gave him a layup. He gave Coach the game plan, and Coach refused to read it.
Another, in Ponderosa, with all the jurors, were Brandon and Rick legitimate jury threats, like the players in the game thought they might be?
100%. Wow. Brandon lost $1 million. Because think about how that play... Nobody really realizes it, and I like Brandon as a person, so I feel bad that he did, and I know he got a lot of shit at home for it. But really, really play that scenario out. Albert goes home that night.
Yeah.
Ozzie comes back into the game. Ozzie wins immunity. Rick goes home that night because you've got to get rid of Rick. He's the nicest guy there. Ozzie loses immunity at that point and is voted out. And in the final three of Coach, Sophie, and Brandon. From our standpoint, Brandon was just a nice guy who cooked for us all the time and had two little babies at home and a 19-year-old wife. I was voting for Brandon.
Wow. Brandon so.
So that's if he doesn't get. That's if he doesn't even win immunity. That's if Brandon doesn't give up the necklace.
I just hypothetically, Brandon doesn't give up the necklace. Albert loses to Ozzie on redemption. Ozzie comes back, wins the first immunity. Say they boot Brandon instead of Rick, and then Ozzie loses final four and they boot Ozzie. So then you're saying Rick would beat Sophie and Coach in a final?
Yeah.
Without no question.
I'm pretty sure that's what would have happened.
Oh wow.
That's really interesting because. On a lot of seasons, we see people who maybe fit the same mold as Rick. So the people who aren't really sort of strategizing all the time and are just there to kind of socialize with people and do their own thing. They always kind of get dragged along to Final Five, Final Four, and then get booted then and there because they're jury threats. And so you're saying Rick was actually a legitimate jury threat?
He was as legitimately nice as you see. And
okay. Well, then I think that we didn't see much of him.
I know. Yeah. He was very endearing, very kind. He's a great dude. I would have voted for him.
All right. Now, I guess about your jury question, you mentioned, I think it was on Rob Has a Podcast, that you had a really exciting and entertaining jury question. And no offense or whatever, but we didn't see a lot of that in the actual.
Yeah, a lot of it was cut off.
Well, it got cut out.
But, yeah, a lot of it was cut off. I don't know.
What'd
you say? I went on and about, not on and on, about, I just trying to get him to be more vicious. I wanted the gloves to come off, and they really wouldn't come off.
Coming into the final tribal council, was Albert, I guess, first of all, what did you think about each of the three finalists in terms of how they played the game?
It's, you know, it's funny. A lot goes into it. It's like, all right, who played the best game? And then it also goes into who do you want to win your season? Do you want to be involved in coach's season? I think that was some of it. But I think what really won Sophie the $1 million was the previous tribal council where she broke down and cried because it was the first time that anybody had really seen a softer side of her, if you will.
Do you think her breakdown is what ultimately got her the money?
I think that question that Jeff asked her won her the $1 million about how she's seen in the light that she's seen in her real life and when she just started breaking down. As I rewatched it, because I remembered it happening, as I rewatched it, I'm like, man, Jeff, that question right there gave Sophie $1 million. Not that he was doing that, not that that was his goal, but that's that right. Question. He deserves a cut.
They did that with Fabio in Nicaragua, I think.
Yeah, I would have voted for Fabio there, too. And, yeah, he's a guy that you could argue kind of just skated till the end and won it. I didn't think Fabio was going to win that season, though.
I don't think anyone did. I don't think he did.
But that's what's interesting. Like, I've met a lot of the people afterwards. I kind of would like to ask what happened to Ponderosa during that season. Because I have a feeling that was a Ponderosa decision.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sash probably could have gotten a couple votes if the other people weren't so aware that they did.
I cannot believe Sash deserved to win that season. I shouldn't say deserve. I think everybody who's won deserves to win because they played the game that won. I can't believe Sash. I think Sash played the best game that season, though, and I thought he should have won. And he didn't get a single vote.
No, he didn't.
And the thing with that this season with Sash is that he was just – his back was always up against the wall. I mean, he was always – low man on the totem pole, but he always found a way to stay in. I thought he played a brilliant game.
That's interesting, because just picking up on something you said just a minute ago that you would have voted for Fabio if you had been on the jury there.
Yeah, I just remember watching it and being like, all right, I would vote for Fabio here, just because of how it all went down. Sash isn't inherently likable, and I think that might have hurt him.
So for you as a juror, it's more about likability than strategy?
Oh, that's a tough question. Everybody says one way or another. It's everything. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't have a better direct answer for that. So my judging criteria is I just want to hear people own their game in the end. Whoever does it. I mean, you know who? Albert almost flipped me. And I even said that when I was writing Sophie's name down, is that I'm like, Albert, you almost had me, because he was the only person that at the end, this is something you didn't see in that final tribal council. He's like, Jeff's like, I have only ever done this once in the entire history of Survivor. I'm going to give each of you a chance to make a final plea, because I'll tell you guys right now, the jury's not getting what they want. They're not hearing what they want from you guys. And so they all gave a final plea that was shit. But Albert was a little bit honest and he almost had me, but he still went back to the honor thing. And I'm like, yeah, honor's not going to win it. Honor got six of us voted out.
If you could go back now, would you still vote Sophie?
All words being the same, maybe I might go coach.
Oh, what?
But he didn't own his game in the end. So I'll put it this way. I'm thrilled that Sophie is the champion of the season that I was on. But I didn't realize how good of a game Coach played, and I told him this at the finale until I saw it on TV.
What's the deal with Albert? Because he was kind of buried by the editing a bit. It's like, it seemed like they went out of their way to kind of make a fool out of him.
I don't think they went that far out of their way. I think that I like Albert. I would hit the town with Albert anytime. But at the same time, he just likes to hear himself talk way too much. You know, I think he wasn't happy about his edit, if you will, but, you know, it's because he really didn't say a whole lot. And I really don't have a whole lot more, I mean, to say about that. It's just, he didn't, what did he do? He was horrible. He looked like he'd be good in challenges, but he wasn't. And he didn't do anything strategically. The only thing he did was he was aware of the jury and I guess made, attempts to woo the jury before they left the island.
Yeah, were those ever effective, or did the jury just compare notes and say, oh, Albert's just trying to schmooze us?
Yeah, that's exactly what it came off as.
So if Ponderosa hadn't been there, do you think Albert maybe could have picked up a few votes if people didn't have a chance to compare notes beforehand?
I don't think so. His name never even came up in discussion as, well, should he or shouldn't he, or it never came up in discussion. So I don't think so. I don't think Albert ever really had a chance. I mean, okay. He could have had a better speech. So, I mean, he could have had a better speech. He didn't show us that he made any moves either physically or strategically. I don't know. I think it was between Coach and Sophie, and I think that Sophie's humanizing crying was what won it for.
Let me give you the nightmare scenario then. So the final three is Cochran, Albert, and Edna. Who do you vote for?
Albert. Albert could win in that scenario.
Oh, well.
I think he could.
And Tom, you have anything else about the Final Tribal Council?
Just a few quick questions, I guess. What was the sort of motivation behind Keith's question? Because it seemed kind of random, just asking about the idol. Was that a topic that had been brought up?
I don't know. I talked to Keith a lot about what his question should be, because we talked about it beforehand. And I don't know. I didn't really like that question all that much. I think he wanted to get to the point of that's another softball for Coach. Coach could have been like, you know what? I kept it because I had such control that I didn't need to use it. I mean, he could have said that, and he didn't. He gave Coach another chance to own his game, and he didn't.
So one final thing before we move on. A lot of people, sort of in the light of Sophie's win, have argued that she was kind of directing things behind the scenes. And this seems to be a pattern that we get with a lot of kind of under-the-radar winners, where their achievements are magnified, if you like, after the fact because of the fact that they won.
Sandra?
Do you think she was really running things, or was that is that kind of rationalization for how wide?
I think using Sophie's words, she said something along the lines that she always had a pulse on the game, and I think that was very true. I think that she's the type of person I would have wanted to keep around until the end because she's not inherently likable. It's taken me months to get to like her, and I like her immensely now. She's one of my favorite people. But I would have kept her because she does come off like a snobby bitch, I think, as somebody said. And until that one tribal council, and then all of a sudden you start to have sympathy for her. And if I were, let's say I would have taken her to the end. At that point, I would have been saying, oh shit, because you could see all the jurors like hearts melting as she's going on about not being liked in her real life. And you start to get a glimpse of, you know, maybe why she acts the way she does sometimes. And I would have kept her all the way till the end too. If that would happen, I would have been like, oh shit, I just lost $1 million keeping her around.
So let's say things go the way you want at the merge. Cochran sticks with you. You go to Rocks, and somebody on the podium, I guess it doesn't really matter who, pulls the rock. What happens from there?
I think I've talked about this to Keith before too. I think what happens there is we knock out. So then we have five more people to knock out. I think we knock them out one by one. We get rid of Coach pretty quickly. We get rid of, you know, a couple more of them. It doesn't really matter who at that point, probably Brandon, if he starts driving people crazy. And then probably would have kept Brandon because he's a known quantity. Then once it gets down to the six Savaii plus a couple of Polu, I was going to try to make a move against Ozzy at that point, get Ozzy out sooner rather than later. Cause if we keep him till the end, he's going to win. And I think that would have been a pretty easy case to make with Keith. And then I had two scenarios. I liked keeping Dawn was definitely going to be voted out after we got rid of the remaining Apollo because she's just way too nice. Mother of six adopted children. I mean, seriously, if nobody in their right mind would take that woman to the final three. She's way too wonderful of a human being. And I think that's what would have happened. And I think that at that point I would have had to reevaluate. I had a few different scenarios. I had me, Cochran plus either Whitney or Keith, whoever I felt like the jurors would think that they lost, that they, whoever the jurors felt like they liked the least. Then I also liked the idea of taking Keith and Whitney because all of a sudden I'm an overweight guy who's not as good looking as either of these two sitting next to him. And I think I can make a pretty compelling sympathetic argument against Ken and Barbie. I liked that. I liked that plan a lot. And I thought I could have convinced them to do that plan.
I think the risky part of that plan, because we've spent on the 2+2 thread a ton of time analyzing what would potentially happen on a Savaii endgame, and I think one of the biggest risks there is that everyone else is probably also going to want to go to the finals with Keith and Whitney, so it really puts a lot of weight on that final four immunity challenge, because if neither of them wins, and you also don't win, then that fourth person's just always, they're never going to vote against each other, and that fourth person's always going to vote with them and just take $1 million. So it's while you can pay, it may pay tremendous benefits, but it's also highly risky, at least at Final Four.
It is.
That's such a cushy Final Three, I guess.
If we get to that Final Three, I would be counting on splitting votes, those two splitting votes and me taking the rest of them. Because, I think I get, in that scenario, I get a few different types of votes. I get the game player vote. I get the, I get the challenge vote. And I think I get the sympathetic vote. So, the really only vote that either of them would get is if one of them was able to say, hey, I used this chick or I used this dude for the entire time, and I have no feelings for him or her. Then maybe they get the game player vote, but I think I still get the sympathetic vote, and I think I still get the good person vote in those scenarios. If you take Cochran takes the sympathetic vote. So it's one of those things where I had a few different scenarios at the end, but all of them included one variation of that foursome. Ozzy was never a part of that plan.
Nor was Don.
Those are the two constants that could have never – I could never have made – taken them to the final three.
Okay. I know it's a difficult question to answer because so many things have to go differently for a final three involving three of you guys to actually come about. But how do you think each of you reviewed in the eyes of the jury? So, how confident would you have been going to final three with Keith and Whitney that, you were going to win? Or let's say you get voted out and – it's Ozzy, Whitney, and Cochran. Like, yeah, how confident would you have been that you knew how each of those votes would have gone?
Not tremendously confident. I mean, against some of those scenarios, because I think that it's tough. I mean, especially if you have somebody like Ozzy in there, that's, he's the physical outplaying guy, but I think I could get the outwitting vote from him. And if there's a mix in there, I was kind of playing it, even when it was back in the pre-merge, I was kind of being a dick to the other team because I wanted everybody on our team to take me. I wanted to the end. I wanted people to think that, after the weight challenge, and when it was down to Stacy, I was laying on the ground telling her to drop it. I'm like, drop it, Stacy, it'll feel so good. And Albert and Brandon are sitting there bitching at me. I'm like, fuck you guys. Don't tell me what the fuck to do. And, I was playing that character up a little bit because I wanted my tribe to not have any second thoughts about taking me with them to the end. And then I was going to bring all that stuff up at the end. And so I was playing the game I was playing to win the whole time.
So you definitely be game to go out again?
Oh, yeah.
I know we would love to see it for sure.
Yeah. I think Jeff kind of teed me up for it in the end, which was nice in the finale. I didn't get to say much.
We were going to ask you about that because it seemed like Jeff kind of threw you a softball. Like, oh, so Jim, what lessons have you learned? Like, lessons I learned is that Cochran's an idiot.
Well, I feel like I didn't at that point I kind of resigned that I wasn't getting anything, and I had some agendas that I kind of wanted to talk about, but yeah. When I knew what the time was in the finale, and I knew that I had very, very little time to say anything. So I needed to say something that kind of reminded people that I was always playing the game, and that I was always playing the game, and that, you know, I learned something. I that was a question I wasn't ready for. You know, what's the one thing I learned? I'm like, what did I learn? I don't know. So that was the first thing that came to my mind. So I think in the brief 30 seconds that I had, I did enough to show that I'm a game player, that I had a lot more game left in me, and that I'm definitely, as Jeff said, I'm a villain who thinks I'm a hero. So I think I did the most with my time.
Thought when I was thinking about your answer to that question, I was quite certain time was a factor. Time is not a factor here. If you want to go into more detail about anything, or if you want to clear anything up, if you want to answer what any questions or anything you felt like you were misrepresented or anything, you have all the time in the world. And I know you want to watch the college football game, and so do I. And we'll get you out of here in time for that. But if there's anything you want to add, I'm going to give you this opportunity later. But while I'm thinking of it, anything, do you feel like you were misrepresented at all, or anything you want to kind of correct for the record?
The only thing one thing, and it was just that my plan really was to, I mean, overall, you know, it never showed that I'm a fun, nice person, but I don't mind that. I like how it showed me. I am a very analytical person. And in terms of the game, the only thing I was really misrepresented was that my plan was to give the necklace to Ozzy. And, after I won it, because my thought process there was, hey, I'm either going tonight or tomorrow. And if I go tonight, you know, at least this is a chance to try and shake things up and maybe get him to vote Cochran off. And it really, all it showed is me giving that plan and Ozzy saying, I believe Jim's a man of his word, and then going to tribal and me not doing it. So I was really upset about that. And I had tweeted about that enough and sent messages to people. So That's really the only thing. You know, some people, you know, really don't like how they're edited, but I was fine with it. I mean, it's not exactly how I am as a person, but I was playing the game. I had fun. I called it how I saw it. And I think I was a good storyteller on the game. So not a whole lot else. I think everything, all my other freakouts and cursing people all pretty much made the air. And my less embarrassing moments made the cutting room floor. So I'm happy about that.
That about does it for the season-specific questions. I guess now I've just got some miscellaneous questions for you if you're game for them.
Sure.
First one would be, do you use any teeth whitening products? And if so, please recommend them.
I whitened my teeth. I owe my mom for luckily having nice teeth. She had nice teeth, and I do too. I whitened my teeth a few years ago, and I just have white teeth. I brush a lot. I take care of my teeth. I floss a lot and I use mouth rinse. So, that's it. What's been weird, cause we didn't have a toothbrush for 30 days. Now I'll go to bed without brushing my teeth sometimes. I'm like, damn, 30 days without brushing my teeth. I don't have to brush them tonight.
Yeah. Well, Dom is British, so I'm sure I could make some jokes there, but I'm going to pass on that. I want to ask you, I'm curious about what your thoughts on Jeff Probst.
A really nice guy. I knew that once it got to the, application process where I got in front of Probst that I would make it on the show. I knew if I got that far, because we're just very similar. We're both big Howard Stern fans. We're both big poker players. We're both, you know, enjoyed our single lives. And I'm trying to find again now. I'm single after last week. So it's, I knew if I got in front of Probst, it would be all good. He's a really, really nice guy. And I think the best thing I could say about him, the dude loves the game. Genuinely loves the game.
That's awesome. The question about the editing, I guess. Did the editors ever piece together various different clips of you saying different things to make it sound like you were saying something you just never said?
No, not really. The only thing I ever noticed was once in a while they would take and only an egotist like I would notice, like my beard growth. I'm like, they took that clip from like day 7 and it was referencing something in day like 20. But no, it was all, the storytelling was very, very right on.
All right, and I guess a little bit more about just confessionals in general. As a player, were you ever trying to, from the questions they would ask you, I think there's a producer there asking you questions to respond to. Based on those questions, did you ever try to, like, extrapolate and get other information about the game? Like, for example, right around the time when Ozzy actually found the Hidden Immunity Idol, were they asking you more frequently to talk about the Hidden Immunity Idol or anything?
No, you know, that's a great question. No, the producers are very, very good about being very impartial. And even to the point where as I look back at it, I'm like, I was telling all this shit to her and she didn't even flinch when I'm like, oh, there's no reason for anybody to flip her. I'm like, oh, they're good. They all have good poker play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The top notch guys and girls.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. Glad we got that in there. What are your thoughts about Redemption Island as a concept? And would you have preferred playing in a, non-Redemption Island season?
Before playing the game, I would have – before going into the game, I love the idea that it was Redemption Island because it meant that I was on the show longer. But there's no the finality of getting your torch snuffed isn't quite there. So I think it was a fun little run. I don't think it impacted either season that it was a part of. I don't – you know, I don't think they'll bring any variation of it back.
Okay.
Okay. There's a question about your life, if you're okay with it. How did you get into poker?
It was always part of my family holidays. And, you know, I literally learned when I was 5 years old. I remember my grandfather, you know, sitting on his lap playing penny poker. And I've always loved it since. It's a lot of fun. You know, I'm proud to say I've won more than I've lost.
Which is not something that a lot of people can say, especially on 2+2.
Yeah.
I guess related to that, what do you think about Brett Ritchie?
I'm sorry, about who?
Brett Ritchie. If the question doesn't mean anything, then feel free to pass.
I don't know. Explain what it should mean to me, though, because I feel like I should know this.
No, it doesn't. Don't worry, it's fine.
You know, on the inside joke, what is the inside joke?
Sign up for 2+2, and you will soon realize.
Uh-oh. I think I should have said something else, but all right.
Now, Jim, I'm pleased to tell you that Dom here, over the course of the past 2 months or so, has gotten into American football, specifically into one Tim Tebow.
Tebow time.
Tebow time indeed, sir. Now, I understand you were at the game yesterday. How was that?
Oh, yeah. That was crazy. I loved it. I was so happy. It was electric. I mean, I couldn't believe. It was just wonderful. I couldn't be happier. That was a great, great game.
Yeah, the very end of these shows I like to refer to actually as Tebow time because, you know, fittingly, the very end of the game, that's when he turns it on.
Bring it on, Tebow time. I mean, that was awesome. I loved it. I still don't think he's a great quarterback, but I love seeing him pull the trigger, and I'm excited to watch the game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, Dom, European and out of touch with American football as he is actually more, I guess, probably of a Matt Prater fan.
I mean, I think that was a great game that I went to. I went to the Bears game, too, and Prater kicks a 59-yard field goal to win the freaking game. Wow.
Dom actually watched that game. Yes, Dom?
I watched parts of it. I wasn't really paying attention, but I had no idea what was going on. All I knew was that Tebow was doing his thing and people were happy about it.
Now, Jim, I have an idea for one of your shops.
All right.
It's for a new strain based, perhaps grown in Colorado, called Mile High Messiah. And I hope the wordplay there is obvious.
We were going to do a strain called Purple Probst, and we decided not to. Maybe we should have, or maybe we'll bring it back one of these days.
Last question about Tebow. How do you think Tebow himself would do on Survivor?
Oh, man, I think he'd play very similarly to Brandon. I think actually he would probably do pretty damn well. The girls are all going to like him. The guys are going to want him on their team. I think Tebow would do pretty well.
When I thought of that question, I was like, he'd probably do about how Ethan would normally do.
Yeah, well, Ethan won. I don't think.
Yeah, no. But I mean, Ethan, if he were to play modernly, where people aren't just gifting him wins.
Yeah, that was a gift, man. Talk about a guy that you should never bring to the end.
Yeah. Now, besides Survivor, what else do you watch on TV?
Right now, I just finished season 4 of Breaking Bad, so I kind of am caught up on that. I like Modern Family, The Office. I'm going through what is on my DVR recorder right now. American Horror Story is a great show. What else am I watching? Oh, I like Hell on Wheels. I like Californication. I just watched that again last night, and so I'm back into that.
Yeah.
With this upcoming season. I like Two Broke Girls, but I think it's just because I have a crush on Beth Bears. She's so freaking hot. What other show? I'm trying to think what else I watch. Modern Family is the show that freaking cracks me up all the time. I like Hell on Wheels. I'm excited for Justified to come back in a couple weeks here. And yeah, I think that's kind of some of the highlights. I like Storage Wars.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
My room,
I know. I'm not gonna run into those guys one of these
all over the house all the time. My friends went for Halloween as Dave Hester. I'm not kidding.
That's awesome.
Dom, any other questions for Jim today?
No, that's about it for me. Thank you, Jim, for coming on. It's been great talking to you.
Oh, I love talking game with anybody, so it was a ton of fun.
Thanks a lot. Definitely.
Yeah, hopefully we get to interview you again after your next season.
Count me in.
Absolutely, that'd be fantastic. Jim, anywhere that the people can find you, Twitter, I would guess is...
Yeah, at James Logan Rice on Twitter. Pretty easy to find. I tend to tweet a lot. I tend to tweet every day, so I never thought I would, but it's actually, I like Twitter a lot to keep in touch, like with whatever stories I want. And so, you know, when I'm following Tim Tebow, I get to see what he says before the game. And I actually like Twitter as a news source more than anything.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's all we have for you today. Thank you once again so much for coming on. It was a great pleasure getting to talk to you.
All right. Say kind words about me on Survivor Sucks.
But yeah, just thanks again. And thanks everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I had a ton of fun, and we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.